Thanks, buddy.
14. Well, Kathy, I've questioned the Lord on that. Every time I think I should get moving on, he just pulls the reins back and says, well, you can go here, you can go there. And so we're going to go a couple places.
We've got all the time God has allotted.
Praise the Lord. So we are going to be on the 14th verse and wherever else the Lord leads. Okay, so Jim, you want to get us started here with prayer?
Father, we started talking about Dwayne's wife and how she's seems to be going quite well, off the pain medication and heading to the malls and going about her daily routine. And just read that verse where it says, if you believe, did not I say that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
What a powerful, powerful verse. Jesus said, if you believe. It wasn't anybody else. Jesus said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. And you spoke to me and you said that if you will believe, you'll see, and if you see, you'll be, and if you be, you'll glorify me. That's what it's all about, Father, your glory. Father, I believe that we're in that hour right now.
Yes.
Right now, that you're going to pour that glory out on the people. Christ in us, the hope of that glory.
Yes.
So, Father, we're excited about the days ahead, Father. We see great change, great wondrous things, Father, coming. Even right now, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Right now, Father, let your glory be manifested in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, just we're on 14, but just to go back, it says in 13, and encircled by lampstands, there was one who appeared to be of a human offspring, a son of man. He was wearing a long robe with a golden girdle around his chest. And of course, we talked about the Son of Man, and we know that the Son of Man is definitely the Son of God, the only begotten Son at the time that he was brought here to the earth. And so that's what he's referring to in Revelation 1:14. When it says his head and his hairs were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now if you look up here, it's interesting because there's a lot of italicized words up there,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they were brought in for meaning. So just for kicks, we're going to I don't know if it has anything to do with changing any thought process on this scripture, but we'll just read it just for kicks. His head and hairs white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. So it really doesn't change it, but it's just interesting how they saw a need to put those verbs, extra verbs and whatever in there. So, okay, so white as course is light, of white garments as a sign of innocence and purity of the soul. Now wool in the Greek is only mentioned twice, and you'll see the other time it's mentioned. But the flame of fire is to burn holiness of God. And, you know, I just put in there, the flame of fire was a bush for Moses, and it's us as a people. But anyway, the part that really got my attention was, you know, the flame of fire. And there's so much in the Bible. We could talk the rest of the year about just fire of God and how God is a consuming fire. But it was interesting to me that the word flame of fire meant to burn. And I was automatically brought to attention the Luke 24:32 on the road to Emmaus, when they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Guess what happened right before that scripture? Right before that scripture, what happened? Something happened that caused this.
What? Didn't he turn around?
No, this is on the road to Emmaus.
Oh.
When he broke the bread.
That was after. Or that was actually during.
Doesn't he run across somebody?
No.
Okay.
Very important, because it's what's happening to us right now.
They were discussing.
We're getting judged.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you're saying is true, but a really critical thing was their eyes were opened. Once your eyes are opened and you see with those spiritual eyes Jesus, wow, doesn't your heart burn within? And that burning is everything from burning away the hay, wood, and stubble, but I think it's also just that warmth that you feel from coming from the Savior, and that warmth and love and his grace and all the wonderful things just warms your heart. You know, the old expression, it warms my heart, you know? And when you really see him as he is, of course, we will be like him. And the only way we can be like him, we have to first see him as he is. And so it really jumped out at me that their eyes were opened, and then they made the statement, did our heart burn within us while he talked with us about the way? You know, he is the way, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. So basically all he was talking about was himself. But at that time, they didn't know it until their eyes were open. Just like, I think, wasn't it Mary was down there after Jesus had been resurrected and the stone had been rolled away, and she thought he was the gardener. Her eyes had not been opened yet. You know, guess what? God is the husbandman. He is the gardener. We are, the branches, you know. So, I mean, I'll tell you, if God hasn't revealed it to me before now, which he had, but now it's just even more so. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus, and everything in the Bible fits perfectly. And it's just amazing how someone would take the book of Revelation by itself and try to interpret it. You can't. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see it right here. You know, it says, well, before we go there, I'm going to show you in Daniel, and I'm going to show you in Ezekiel different things that's going to show you that it's just perfection. God is perfection. But the flame of fire is to burn, its holiness of God from a bush to people. But basically, it was interesting. It didn't say that, I mean, we are ministers the actual verbiage? Ministers of fire or flames of fire or what?
Ministers are flames of fire.
Ministers are flames of fire. Okay. So you know, knowing that, it's interesting how it said, and his eyes. There's that theme of eyes again. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You know. And when it refers to us, it's all of us, I guess. But in this case, the Son of Man that was revealed to John, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And we're going to go into...
He can see right through you.
Yeah.
And
we're
when our
go
eyes
Daniel
are open,
7,
see,
huh?
When our eyes are open, we see him as he is.
Yes.
And
yes.
As he is, was in the midst. And mm-hmm. that, you know, I did a word study on that one time. And in the midst of can also mean within.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So.
So if you want to turn to Daniel 7, and there's some, we could spend days just in Daniel as it relates to what we just saw, but there's a reference, it's a little different, but there's a reference to what is in Revelation 1:14 in Daniel 7, 9, and 10, chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Daniel says, as I looked, thrones were put in their places. Isn't that interesting? Thrones, plural.
Where is
Daniel 7, verse 9 and 10. It's a lot more than that, but I'm trying to just condense it down a little bit. But I thought it was interesting where it said thrones, because later on in Revelation it says, to him who overcomes will be able to sit with me in my throne. So guess what? There you go. Thrones were put in their places. And God, the eternal one, which Daniel refers to as the Ancient of Days. So if anybody wants to know if Jesus is God, there it is right there. It says the Eternal One, the Ancient of Days, sat on his throne. Mm-hmm. His clothes were white like snow. It's exactly, without this, it'd be harder to interpret Revelation 1:14, because here it just goes further interpretation of what John saw. And John's always going to see something that's going to reference back to something else. And it says, and the hair on his head was like wool, white. His throne was made from fire.
Mm.
Okay? So throne usually denotes authority, power. You know, the king or queen sat on the throne. And the wheels, this gets a little crazy, because you don't think of a throne as having wheels. Because have you ever seen Cleopatra or some of these other Jesus movies where, you know, Herod or someone sitting on the throne? You don't see it rolling around the room. So I thought that was interesting, but we're going to talk about that too. Were blazing with fire. And Jim talked about rivers. A river of fire was flowing from in front of him. I like that. It was flowing in front of him, making a pathway for him to go. Many, a thousand, thousands of angels were serving him, and millions, 10,000 times 10,000 angels stood before him. Court was ready to begin. He was sitting in judgment, and the books were open. So anyway, there's a lot in there, but the main thing is John saw what Daniel saw, and that is the Ancient of Days, and you know how basically he was represented by, you know, being like white as snow, and his hair on his head was white like wool, and he's pure, he's perfect. He's, you know, he saw the perfection of God and the wisdom of God. Before I go into Ezekiel, anybody have anything to say on that?
There's just one little line in the poem that the Lord gave me that I just want to read. It's just a line out of the poem. And it says, the title of the poem is Restore Back the Glory. And this one line says, so please restore us by your nature that we know is of pure gold. And this is what I want you to hear. For the gold is always pure. The gold is always pure because it dwells in the fire of your love.
There you go.
The gold is always pure because it dwells in the fire. So that fire is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Keeps us pure. It's the love of God.
Yeah, so let's see. The fire as it relates in Daniel 7, 9 and 10 says, the throne was made from fire.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's where
the kingship
dwells.
Is love.
Because it dwells in the fire of your love.
Yeah, that's good. and the wheels of his throne were blazing with fire. So now we're going to talk about the wheels. Okay? You know, I've never really studied it. I've studied a little bit into the wheel within a wheel in Ezekiel, but I studied a little bit more into it, and I also feel that we're going to get some wisdom from voice of many waters. I believe we're going to get some. But anyway, it says in Ezekiel 1, 15, 16, again, we could spend days just in Ezekiel 1. It's just so chock full of stuff. It talks earlier, before the 15th verse, about the four creatures. Well, the four creatures, it's referring to the four faces. Ezekiel's cherubim has four faces, that of a man, a lion, a cherub, and an eagle. Okay? And, you know, we can sit down and spend days talking about the four faces and how in Revelation it changes a little bit. But the point I'm trying to get to is I saw something that looked like a wheel on the ground beside each of the four-faced creatures. This is what the wheel looked like. They were identical wheels, sparkling like diamonds in the sun. It looked like they were wheels within wheels, like a gyroscope. Y'all remember a gyroscope when you were a little kid? You pull that string or whatever, and that thing would just stay like a top almost, and would just stay, but it was moving like crazy. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. When the living creatures were lifted up, rose from the ground, they were lifted up from the ground, and the wheels also were lifted up. This is the key part right here. Wherever the spirit would go, the living creatures would go. And the wheels were lifted up beside them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels.
Mm.
Okay? So you kind of getting that picture there. When the living creatures move, the wheels move. When the living creatures stop, the wheels stop. And when the living creatures were lifted from the ground, the wheels were lifted beside them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. What did Simon Peter say to Jesus? Lord, in John 6:68, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So guess what? I just kind of threw this together. The underlying image of the wheel implies that the Lord is advancing or moving toward us and into us at all times. Gets us from point A to point B. The wheel within the wheel suggests two forms of intelligence, spirit and soul. The two are compatible and move in unison. When they move in unison. When. Wheels can advance you into new territory, and the wheels are turning in our minds. You ever look at someone and say, ooh, those wheels are turning now? That's it. His mind is our mind, the mind of Christ. So, I've heard, you know, these were aliens. You know, I mean, you can hear everything, you know. But this is just a simple, easy way that, if it's a wheel within a wheel, guess what? It's one. You know, even though it may be doing something in there, it's still part of that big wheel. And God, of course, is the big wheel, and we're the wheel that's within that, or we're the within part of that wheel. But anyway, like I said, we could talk a lot. There's so much to talk about here, but it's interesting how Ezekiel saw the wheel within the wheel, and there were wheels on the thrones. Okay? So I'm just going to throw it out there, and Lord, just reveal to us all the stuff that we have in our ability to interpret that. That the wheels on the throne, there's not wheels on thrones, so we can throw the natural interpretation out the door. I don't think you've ever seen wheels on a throne. So it's got to be strictly spiritual. Not some of them, some of the things you could say, this is in the natural, and yeah, I can see it that way, and this is in the spiritual. I don't think wheels are on thrones. If you can come up with an interpretation of that where there is, I would be willing to listen. But so you got wheels on the throne, and then you've got the wheel within the wheel. But it's all basically, why do you have wheels? You have wheels to move from point A to point B, right? I mean, there's a purpose for wheels. They don't just sit there and do no. Go ahead.
Turn too.
Huh?
Wheels turn.
Okay. So again, it comes down to, is there an association between the two? I seem to think there is, and I don't necessarily have the interpretation, but I thought someone here might.
The wheel covers that some of the guys have.
The spinners?
Yes. I thought of that, because it's still a wheel within a wheel.
Yep. Yeah.
And
yep.
It's spinning.
Yeah, they're going to town. That's us. You know? Yeah. We're sitting there in the natural. We may be just going, Jesus, the Lord stops. You know, the wheels stop.
They don't go anywhere or do anything except the outer wheel.
Yeah, the outer wheel stops. And if Jesus is saying, just stop. Slow down, stop, and that inner wheel is just, that's like that, you know, are you going to rest or are you going to work? Are you going to try to do the work or are you going to let God do the work?
You're not achieving anything.
Yeah, you're just going nowhere. You're just spinning. That's a really good.
Until the outer wheel moves, even though this is still spinning, they're within that outer wheel.
Yeah, that's good.
A wheel has no beginning and no end. It's endless, you know. So that's the way God is too, and that's the way that God is in us. What you were saying before about the gyroscope, that's to keep it perfectly in balance. And that wheel within a wheel, that's the endlessness of God inside of us. And yet we have to stay in Him and keep rotating in Him as He rotates, you know. What it seems like a lot of times on a gyroscope, a lot of times they it's like they run in opposite directions at times. You know what I mean? To keep balance, yeah. My uncle used to work at General Electric, and he used to bring home some of the things that they would make in his shop. You know, like for experiments or whatever. And he brought home this one little man thing one time. That was holding, had like an arm sticking out, and a weight on each end. And it had two little points for like feet, and it had a platform. And you could take that thing and put it anywhere on there. You could even take one of the legs and put it off of the platform. And it would lean, but it would never fall. Because the way it was made, it was perfectly balanced, you know. And the wheel within a wheel is the perfection of God's balance inside of us.
That's good.
And it'll keep us from falling as long as we stay within the wheel. And the wheel is endless, you know. It doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. You know, it's eternal if you want to. And that's part of what that's signifying, I feel like, is that He's eternal. And that in His throne, and His throne is within us. You know, the kingdom of God dwells within us. All this stuff is happening inside of us. And if we come to realize that He's the balancing point in us that keeps us in balance, you know, and it's because of what He did, not really because of what we did,
right.
You know. But
that's good. I like that.
Doesn't the fire symbolize judgment?
Yeah, the righteous judgment of God, because, you know, that's His righteous judgment. I think that's coming up in the next scripture where it talks about, And His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Well, brass is the judgment, but that fine brass is His righteous judgment. Fine can be righteous, you know. it's fine brass. It's not just brass. It's so it's a righteous judgment that he exacts upon all. And we talked about that before. The judgment is not guilty. Praise the Lord.
A few weeks ago when I spoke about the gate called Beautiful, you know, a little bit, and when that gate, I went and read some descriptions of that gate, and they said it was the most costly gate of all of the gates. The other gates were covered with silver and with gold. That was a fine brass. It was a very, very rare brass, but it was bigger and it was more costly than all of the other gates.
Wow.
And it came out of the court of women, you know. It took you into the court of women, you know.
The soul.
Yeah. So when you realize that even the judgment of God, and it's brass that's been tried in the fire, you know, and fire, you know, when I was in science class years and years ago, I had a science teacher tell me fire never destroys anything. It doesn't destroy anything. All it does is change things into their elemental things. It breaks them down. You know, like it releases the gas, it releases the moisture, it releases everything that's in something if you burn it. And it turns it in usually into carbon, which is its purest state, you know. And what are diamonds made out of?
Carbon.
That's under pressure, you know. So when you realize that even the fire of God is not to destroy, but it is to release things into what they're intended to be, you know, all of their elemental factors. So when we realize that when the fire of God comes into our life and we're saying, oh my God, is it going to get any hotter? Is it going to get any worse? What he's really doing is he's trying to release in us the essence of what's really inside of us, which is him, when we come to that.
Praise the Lord.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be all consuming fire.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's burning up the wood, hay, and stubble, which the things are not, they're not useful. They're not useful.
Yeah. I just threw this in Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book, and I never saw this before, and all the people. And that's, you know, the blood of Jesus is sprinkled on us and everybody else. It's all there. But I'd never seen that, and all the people, Moses sprinkled that blood on all the people. That's interesting. Just anyway, I just threw that in there. No extra charge for that.
You know, when you
give you a donut.
Give me a donut.
I don't know where I'm going with this thought, but when you were talking about the wheel within a wheel, all of a sudden I started seeing two minds. I started seeing the mind of man,
soul and the spirit,
and the mind of God. And when something goes the opposite direction, it starts burning out, doesn't it? I mean, when you look in the natural, you have to keep putting oil and stuff like that in these bearings and whatever, because eventually it seems like they just burn out eventually?
Well, with the gyroscope, it keeps it in balance. You know, and you know, it's what keeps it in balance,
right?
Because if they both went in the same direction,
go,
it'd right. fly off.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I read a article one time about a person had created, I like science stuff, I mean I always was pretty good in science, but I read this article one time where this guy had created a perpetual motion motor. And if you can create a perpetual motion motor, it won't stop. It doesn't need anything to keep it going. It's perpetual, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And they said that he had created this thing, but he couldn't control it. It would blow up because it just, you know, they said if they could ever learn to control it, then, you know, cars and things like that could run you know, nothing, basically. Once it got started and it got running, it wouldn't need anything. It would be perpetual. It would just keep going and going and going. But they couldn't figure out how to control it, and it would blow up every time that they'd get it going. You know, they couldn't stop it, you know. And the thing about it is we know God's power in us is perpetual. It doesn't stop. It's eternal. But the thing is that he, you know, there has to be a union between soul and spirit. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. There has to be that union. And what it is us bringing the soul and putting it in subjection to the spirit.
And then you may have a wheel working within a wheel.
That's right.
Yeah, just
that's
all
how
the
it
same
works.
Mind.
Along
all
the lines of what
well,
you're
it's,
talking.
Well, it's in union.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a marriage.
Because
there.
When our mind is not in union with Christ, that's where we get burned out, we get tired, we wonder what God's doing, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the wheel is taking you somewhere. I mean, there's the wheel's worthless if it's not going to take you somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically going back to what you were saying, maybe, I don't know, but the inside wheel could be your soul,
right.
And the outside wheel is the Spirit of God.
Right.
And if the soul isn't lining up with the Spirit of God,
right.
You go nowhere.
Right.
You stay put.
Stay
and we don't ever want to stay put in God. We want to move forward in God. And so, you know, taking that example, you know, if you don't have the mind of Christ, then the soul's never going to come in union with the Spirit. But when have you ever seen though, when you were like really into the, you know, the Spirit, you could feel you were moving in the Spirit in a wonderful way.
There was no time.
Yeah.
Or anything. Yeah.
You're just moving forward in
effortless.
God. Yeah.
You lose track of all time.
And that's where he's saying, come up here. I think that's
right.
The coming up here.
Right.
Come up here into this perspective.
Right.
Come up here to this realm, this heavenly realm, and guess what you're going to see?
In unity.
Yeah. So,
well, and the thing
and
is,
life eternal.
When
you'll never die.
When you marry the soul with the spirit, the only thing that it can bring forth then is the Son of God.
Yes.
That's what's birthed there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest with you, that's like when Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, you know, and the thing that was the holy thing that was conceived in her was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
She was a type of a soulish person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Spirit overshadowed her, then the thing that was conceived in her was the Son of God. And the same thing happens to us as the Spirit of God, so to speak, overshadows us, but it's from within, really, is what it mounts out to. Then the only thing that can be birthed out of that is the Son of God.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and one verse in a poem that I read a while back, it says, gird up the loins of your mind in me in order that you can see the coming waves of my glory to be. Gird
but
up
you have
the
to
loins
see it
of your mind.
With the eye,
right.
With the spiritual eye.
Right.
There's
that
seen.
Mind again. There's that mind again. Lift that soul up into me, into the realm of Christ, and you'll see the glory. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll see.
Yep. Anybody else? So the throne had wheels. Interesting, huh? Okay. Back to the flame of fire. And when the 40 years were expired, of course, 40 is a year of testing, is the number of testing. So 40 is... testing were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. I mean, you all know that Moses' life was in three 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first 40 was he was born, and then you know he was sent down the Nile, and the Egyptian sister, I think, found him and raised him as her own. So he was risen into the ranks of the highest level of you know, the what's the king for them?
Pharaoh.
Okay, Pharaoh's son, mm-hmm. adoptive son. And then all of a sudden, we know what happened. In the natural, he fell, which is a good thing. And he was exiled for 40 years on the other side. And then he became a shepherd, not by accident. And then the next 40 years was his true purpose. It's all that was preparing for that true 40 years. So if you're 80 years old, you got 40 more left, folks. So, and that's where God's going to really you. But anyway.
That's good preaching.
Good, yeah. I like that.
We'll buy that. Yeah. Much of us getting close to that.
Take that love offering up now. All these old folks.
So an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. So I thought that was it. An angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. We were talking a wheel in a wheel. Now we're talking a flame of fire and a flame of fire in a bush. So again, just the whole purpose of the fire, I think all this was setting the stage for us to be that flame of fire, for us to be that one that comes without judgment towards others, without, you know, sizing people up and just saying, hey, you know, let that flame come over, that warm, inviting flame, you know, come over you to burn up all the hay, wood, and stubble.
Yeah, the church needs to get the revelation that it's the fire of his love and not the fire and the flames of hell. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
They need to understand it's the fire of his love that cleanses them. I know whenever the Lord has ever chastened me or talked to me about something in my life that he wanted changed or he wanted out, I never felt condemned. I mean, whenever he talked to me, it either brought tears to my eyes. I mean, it was, he chastens us by the Spirit. He's not like an earthly father, Hebrews, I think, says. Where he'll take a stick after you. Father will take a stick after you. And that'll bring temporary change. But God deals with the Spirit, which brings eternal change. So it's the fire of his love, mm-hmm. not the fire, hell's fire. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
If they can just get that revelation, they'll be well on their way.
I mean, he can't complete that which he began in us without that fire. That fire is what is going to bring us to completion. It's not anything else, really. And then,
well, didn't the scripture say that he would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and his fan was in his hand? So if his fan's in his hand, what do you do when
it's getting hot?
If the fire isn't going in your fireplace, you take a bellows or you take something and you create some wind in there, which is really a type of the Spirit of God blowing into that too. And all of a sudden the fire kicks up and starts going. The more oxygen you get to it, the greater it's going to burn. Mm-hmm. And the more his Spirit blows upon us in the midst of the fire, the greater the flame will be.
Yeah, which is a good segue into Hebrews 1:7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers. So, you know, it's not saying that the angel spirits, it says and, doesn't say, anyway, and his ministers a flame of fire. Well, who's the ministers who are the flame of fire?
That's everybody here.
Right.
You know, let me read another little excerpt out of a poem the Lord gave me a while back about the fire. It says here that he's going to send the spirit of burning. When I wrote this, I never really realized what the spirit of burning was. And I actually, it's in Zechariah where he talks about the spirit of burning. I never even realized that was in the scripture until I wrote it down. I like to confirm some of these things as I get these poems with the word. But it said, for the spirit of burning will blow upon the coals and it will start, and you will start to see the love and passion for my son come back to my bride. As in the days of old, you will first start feeling the heat and the warmth of his love as the spirit of prophecy blows across my church. Then you will see small flames as the heat intensifies off the coals. It will then, through the power of the spirit of burning, reach up and start consuming all the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Then as the wood, the hay, and the stubble starts to burn, listen to this, the flames will become brighter and hotter and higher until the world starts seeing this light and feeling the warmth of this fire, and multitudes will come to the brightness of your rising. So the hotter it gets, the brighter it gets, it's more his glory that's being revealed instead of hurting you, bringing you down low. It's
torture.
Yeah, it's the fire that starts consuming the wood, hay, and the stubble, and the fire will even intensify after the wood, hay, and stubble is gone, because then it can start intensifying, because what we're talking about is the glory of God being revealed here. Mm-hmm. Okay?
In us.
Yeah, it's not about some big rod that's coming out smacking you across the head. It's his love that he's trying to reveal to you.
Yeah. I mean, when they do gold and silver and all that, you know, like you said, that when it gets to the right part, you take and scoop off all the dross, or we can call it hay, wood, and stubble, whatever. You scoop all that off, and then you can see your reflection in the silver or the gold. But at that point, that gold or silver is pure, right? There's no need for any more heat. So if you're getting tired of the heat, you know, there is going to be, first of all, you got to embrace the heat because it's there for your good. But you know, second of all, once that perfection comes, there's no need for heat anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that day is coming.
Well, bring it on.
Lord. I know. But anyway, so we are flames of fire, and we'll end with this. What, as a minister, a flame of fire, what? How do you see that walking out day to day? How do you see our role as ministers, a flame of fire? How do you see us walking this out day by day? Because that's who we are. We are ministers, a flame of fire.
Well, if he's a consuming fire, and his fire is love, and we're a flame of fire, that's our whole thing, is to give love.
Yep.
As we walk around day to day.
That's the
one. No judgment, no nothing, just love. Yeah. Reconciliation.
Well, if his ministers are flames of fire, then we want the fire, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And if his ministers are flames of fire, like the burning bush, and the burning bush wasn't burnt up. Amen.
Well, it wasn't burnt up. Not consumed.
It was just his glory that was being revealed through that bush, through that natural bush. It was his glory that was being revealed through that bush. So again, the only point that I think that the Holy Spirit wants us to get is that the fire is his love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is not out to hurt his mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. He is simply out to bring light to where there's darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the ones that pile the darkness on us. We're the ones that bring the chastisement, if you will. Isaiah said your own backsliding will chasten you. Your own backsliding mm-hmm. will bring pain mm-hmm. and agony to you.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot blame God for the pain and agony, is all I'm saying, because he comes with the fire of his love, and he consumes the darkness. He consumes, you know, the tares in us, and the more that the tares are consumed, the greater the fire will burn, because it's the glory of God that's coming to the church. He wants us to be flames of fire, and the only way that we can be flames of fire is to get the crucus out of us.
Well, how do you get that out?
Well, that's
only he can
help people out too. Yes. Just smack them. How about that?
Only he can get it out. But what's neat when you go back to the bush is the bush wasn't consumed.
Too long.
That's right.
Our hay, wood, and stubble gets consumed, but we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't. We remain
Rich,
forever and ever and ever.
And the end of this poem says, in the heat and the warmth, the fire is the overpowering love God has for the world and his creation. For this light, for this fire and the warmth, is the glory of the Lord, which is even now being revealed in the earth as a witness to the glory which will soon cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Yep,
so the fire is God's glory that's coming mm-hmm. forth in people. But he has the burnout, the wood, hay, and the stubble.
And the church, the church has looked at that fire as something bad. I mean, not all people.
Well,
there's
a carnal, there's a carnal way of looking at it, and there's a spiritual way of looking at it.
It's like, well, if I do this, then God's going to smack me down. You know, that's looking at the fire the wrong way.
Yeah.
Or if I do this, I'm going to have to confess all these sins to someone, you know, because that's what the, you know, it's just legalism. It's just traditions of man has come in, and people don't realize the freedom in Christ that they have. They still think that there's going to be repercussions if they think a certain bad thought. Oh, God's going to get me now. You know?
Well, it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Exactly.
If I do this bad thing, then God's going to do that thing to me. You know, and it's.
He does say that he will chasten us and try to get us back. So that's, it's a good thing that he's trying to clean out the dirtiness of whatever that is so carnal in us. I mean, that's.
But
I mean,
his
chastening,
just like Oscar said, his chastening is not like the chastening that we see in earthly parents, you know. And that chastening is a good thing because
it
shows
thing,
he loves us.
At least we're still thinking, okay, he's still in us. And thank you so much for allowing me to see that, because you are still in me in anything and everything that we do. So. I mean, I was having this discussion with this, supposedly he's a preacher, and he got a job at the IRS, and he's like, God's of judgment. I'm like, what, are you Baptist? And he's like, yeah, he was. And he goes, I said, God is of love. I said, what happened? He goes, oh, things didn't work out. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, so he's working at the IRS, and I'm thinking, okay, I said, well, just remember, I said, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I know he's of love, and he still loves us regardless if he's judging. I mean, I don't know what God you, I mean, it's just, I'm thinking, you're the preacher? I'm like, well, no wonder you're
not
there anymore.
God help us.
You know, I'm thinking, and you're on the pulpit preaching about judgment, well, you know, and I thought, oh, that's terrible. But anyway.
Well, God didn't leave him there, did he?
No, definitely. No. Thank goodness.
And we just pray right now that the Lord would open his eyes.
There
he
will.
I know he will.
Put the flame of fire.
We pray
open.
Now
that
the Lord open
that
his
is
eyes.
God's whole reason.
Yeah.
It says our backsliding. That's how we learn. You know, we learn through our garbage.
Okay, praise the Lord. Anybody else have anything? If not,
I just want to say,
sure.
Missy and Toby's church, she said they're going to do a 6-week study on the book of Revelation. I said, oh, we're doing Revelation. We've been 4 weeks. We're on chapter 1. I should tell her just to read the first 5 words, and then she's all right.
There you go.
First 5 words.
That's right.
That's Revelation of Jesus.
Yeah, that's all you need to know the full.
And then pray and say, Lord, please reveal yourself to me.
Yes.
You know what I mean, in this book. I mean, you know. And
he will. Praise the Lord. Brenda, you want to pray?
Father, we're so thankful for how you take your time with us, Lord. How you express your love to us. How you desire us to just come up hither, and Father, just to open ourselves unto you, that you may, Father, make us flames of fire,
yes,
and go out and minister, that they may see the Christ in us. We may not judge, but we just express love to them. Father, just come forth in the following service, glorify yourself in all things that are said and done, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.